Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, Sports City. The Sunday morning brunch is back underway, man. We got the next 90 minutes locked and loaded here in this kitchen. Got a lot of stuff to jump into. And oh yeah, something unfamiliar we haven't heard in quite some time. Tiger is on the prowl. I done took off his blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside the kitchen. Timeless is alive.
Oh, welcome to Sports City. TP Timeless is at the helm.
Feeling kind of Sunday.
Moses taking care of the Midwest. I'm TP Timeless holding down the East Coast.
TP, I am ready to back rock.
And the only thing, I got one thing to wish you people.
Good morning. It's a Sports City chef with Sunday the brunch with Mark and TP.
Good morning.
Kick back, relax, enjoy this everybody, don't turn on the TV.
Good morning.
It's a Sunday morning brunch with Mark, the Moses, and TP Thomas.
Good morning.
So sit back, relax, in 2 hours of facts, and that's a fact, yeah.
The caller number is 917-889-9592. Like I just said, you got the next 90 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with the chef. And like I said, we got some interesting stuff to talk about. Like I said, Tiger is in second place in the closeout round is today. Can he make a push to get a event win in 2 years? People, we have not seen Tiger get a win in 2 years. That's something interesting. Some NFL stuff to talk about. Bradford back on the field. We got a lot to get into. I'm not going to give you too much of this out, but I'm going to get these chefs in here as best as I possibly can. Calling in by way of the state of Arizona, Mr. Silver, a.k.a. Nacho. Welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
Oh, it's morning. Good morning.
Uh-oh. Got to get him some coffee. Get him up and moving here in this kitchen. That's right. Get up. Don't be too groggy. You got a big game today. Well, it ain't big. It's preseason, but we know who you are today. So I got your coffee. And you want to know, you want your coffee right now? You want me to wake you up? I'll wake you up right now. Calling in by way of the state of Virginia, we have Aaron Sirius Simmons in the building. Welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
You know, man, it's so good to be back in the building, man. Shout out to all these Sports City chefs that have been holding it down while your boys been taking care of business. Shout out to the one Packer fan I know. No, fuck the Packers. Steelers all day. Let's get it. Let's go. I ain't being nice. Sasha, where you at, playboy?
Oh, I'm over here, man.
There we go. I gotta wake people up, man. What I'm doing, brother, I gotta get these people out there and see. Let's go, ladies and gentlemen. And last but not least, my big brother calling out of South Carolina. You guys know him as Nostradamus, aka Chandler Knight. Welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
I'm fine. How's everybody doing?
We doing all right, and you know, he's on the go, so we got a lot of stuff to jump into. So I don't know if we let the games begin and started to jump into this matchup. Nah, you know, but we got that on slate, and it's an interesting one. And when these two go at it, I remember the last time these two went out of regular season, then put up 500. So that's interesting enough. This is a good thing. I hope we get to see some quality minutes if these guys go past the first quarter, because they're both basically the faces of their respected organizations, being Ben and Aaron, some simple names, and well, Aaron, enough. Look, Aaron and Aaron. Look at this. I got Aaron in the kitchen for the Steelers. I got Aaron for the Packers. That's wild. I do want to get into something a bit quick, controversial, and see how you guys feel about two instances of controversial situation. One, I'm going to talk about something that happened yesterday, and also something that's happened, you know, in a previous time, and I'm going to throw this around the kitchen, see how you guys feel about it before I jump into the matchup with these guys. First and foremost, I don't know if people caught this, but I caught it, and especially the latter part of it, because we were doing things here in the kitchen. The Baltimore Ravens got beat down. I'm talking about real bad. Now, mind you, it's the preseason, and like my quote has been for the past couple of years, I really don't look into the score, really, you know, the outcome, because you can't really predict how these preseason games fall out. But they had a 27-0 lead on Baltimore. Baltimore ended up scoring points, but they still ended up putting up a 40-burger up against the Baltimore Ravens. Now, in which this game, this is the first game that they got Sam Bradford back out in action in quite some time. And a controversial play happens where he hands Darren Sproles the ball, and out of anybody on that defense, you already know who is the more controversial player left on that defense. It used to be Ray, it used to be Ed, but the third one out of all of them was T. Sizzle, a.k.a. Terrell Suggs. Suggs makes a play and goes after Sam Bradford surgically twice repaired knee, which had, ligament damage, however you want to look at this. Now the Eagles are in uproar about the situation, calling T. Suggs a dirty player. He was going after the knee purposely, which is true, and I kind of feel some type of way about it because it's quote-unquote the Tom Brady rule where you can't hit a quarterback below the belt. Nowhere they can hit him. And, you have the offensive tackle, Peter, saying, no, you know the rules and this, that, and the third. A lot of people in Philadelphia are speaking up on it. And Bradford getting back out there and getting back up. I want to see how you guys feel about it. Is this a football play? Is T. Sizzle really dirty? I want to see how you guys feel about it. I'm going to save you for last, series, because you know about this guy, and I know you don't like the Ravens, so I gotta spice the kitchen up this morning. Nacho, I'll let you wake up. Chandler, I'll let you go first. Chandler, your thoughts on Suggs' play going after Bradford's knee, knowing that he's looking like he's going to be the starter for this Eagles team this season. Your thoughts on the play?
I don't have a problem with the play. The rule says you can't hit the quarterback below the knee. You can't hit him above the chest. Where are you supposed to hit him? Boy, by the way, he was a runner on the play because it was a read option. He was no longer a quarterback. He was a running back. They don't have problems with hitting running backs in the knees. So why Sam Bradford special? You don't want to get hit in the knees, Sam Bradford? Retire. Or better yet, stop having your knees blow out on you with no one to hit you. I don't want to hear anything from the Eagles about dirty play. I'm not trying to hear it. That's what you're supposed to do. If Sam Bradford was some running back who'd come up with two knee surgeries and Terrell Suggs hit him in the knees, would anybody have a problem with it? No. Or with the quarterback? Well, he was a running back on that play by the new rule that the NFL put in to protect quarterbacks because, God forbid, one of their fair-haired boys gets injured, yet they all still keep getting injured. So I don't have a problem with the play. It was a good play, and I hope every defensive player in the league takes a shot at his knees.
Well then. And knowing that it was a read option situation, and I agree with you too, Chandler. Where are they supposed to hit these quarterbacks? And I think ever since Tom Brady got that knee torn up, what was that, 2008? After that 18-1 season, they've been trying to watch every quarterback getting hit, other than the scramblers in the league, like Ben Roethlisberger, like Michael Vick, like the guys that'll take off and they know that they're hard to tackle, they have to kind of judge that differently. But knowing that these guys have history of being injured, I think this is why the refs are watching it closely. So I understand where you're coming from, Chandler, but then, and not to say I'm taking the side of it, but then it's like, a team's season could be up in arms if they lose somebody on a crazy hit. Now, I do understand that you don't know what you're seeing right now. You got to hit anything back there. So I definitely understand where you're coming from. But I know Suggs could definitely take him out up top and bring him down. And just a critical, interesting hit. I won't say critical because nothing happened. He's okay. He's walking around. He still ended up finishing the game and walking off on his own power. But, interesting enough, this was something that out of Philadelphia, where they are up in arms about Suggs' play. Anything else before I move around this kitchen, Chandler?
No, I mean, and that's the thing, man, is if you don't want to put yourself in harm's way, how about you tell your head coach to not run you on read options when you got surgically repaired knees? How about you blame the coach instead of the defensive player who's just trying to do his job?
Right, and the one thing about it is, they ran that same situation for Tebow, and Tebow was actually successful in running the ball. I think Kelly's going to have to make up his mind or actually make these defenses aware that, certain packages are going to be for Bradford. They got to run with this system, however they're going to run with it. Bradford's got to be man enough to take these hits, and I don't know if it's a situation where they're going to go up the legs and people are going to see, penalties. I don't know if fines will be granted or warranted, warranted in these situations. But oddly enough, it sucks again. And knowing how he has a history going after a lot of these quarterbacks around the NFL, has this offensive line and the Philadelphia Eagles organization feel us some type of way. Nacho, I come to you next. Your thoughts on the hit? Do you think it's dirty? Especially the aura around Terrell Suggs. Your thoughts on this situation?
You know, considering where Terrell Suggs played, I have to consider him one of the best linebackers in the league, not only because he's a Super Bowl champion, but also his alma mater. Secondly, this thing is blown way out of proportion. If the Eagles want to be mad at someone, if the Eagles want to pick out someone to be mad at, be mad at Brent Celek. His job during that play, for all intents and purposes, was to bump Terrell Suggs, whoever the end is, or the outside linebacker is, bump him and get your job. He didn't even touch him. I think he barely touched him with one finger. Terrell Suggs had a straight line, straight to Sam Bradford. There was no stopping. There was no impeding his process. If you want to get mad at someone, you get mad at someone for not doing their job. Everyone involved, Sam Bradford, the running back, and Terrell Suggs, all did their job. Brent Celek didn't do his job. You want to get mad at someone, you get mad at Brent Celek. I don't understand the whole fact that Terrell Suggs is getting claimed as a dirty player because he did what he was supposed to do as a pass rusher. You're supposed to get that passer, and the fact that he not only is in the read option, now he becomes a quote-unquote running back or a running quarterback, so rules don't apply to him anymore. The fact that he hit him where he was supposed to, now you're pretty much just saying we can't hit them. That's all you're arguing now. If you believe Terrell Suggs is a dirty player, if you believe that he hit him trying to hurt him, you just don't want the quarterbacks to get hit. You want them to be pretty little statues in the middle of that pocket and do whatever they want, and that's not the case. This is a case of a violent sport where people are supposed to get hit. So I'm not mad at it. I'm not upset at it. Watching it again and again, seeing that, you know, the only person I could see that didn't do his job, that was doing something that I could be upset at as an NFL fan, was Brent Celek. Your job is to bump. Your job is to block, impede the process of that linebacker or DN, and you did nothing of the sort. And not only did you do nothing of the sort, but you didn't even go block the guy you were supposed to. You got up and stood around and just looked like you didn't know what you were doing. On that particular play, I would have to say the offender, in my opinion, would be Brent Celek. I have no problems with what Terrell Suggs did. Sam Bradford, like you said, he took the hit, got back up, and came back out there. So I don't have anything problem with he did, and he made the right call. He saw T. Suggs coming straight at him. He let the ball go to the running back, and the running back got some yards. So I'm not mad at anyone, but if there's anyone to put blame on, to me, it would be the guy who didn't do his job, and that's Brent Celek.
Well, okay. Well, interesting enough, listen, Celek, you better get your stuff together. And if you don't know where he's from, he's an Arizona State Sun Devil, VNT Suggs. So that speaks of where this Arizonian is right now. But I don't know. And it's interesting that you say that because I actually find flaw in the NFL with this situation. I'm going to come to serious in a little bit. But you mean to tell me that, you know, one, I mean, Chip Kelly puts this quarterback in harm's way because you know he's come off of two ligament repairs to his knee. He's been out twice for this knee, and you put him in a scramble situation or option situation where these guys get the tee off on him. If he still even has the ball in his hands, if that handoff doesn't go down, they got to bring him down, you know. But two, I like how Nacho presented it. Now you put him in a situation where they can't hit these guys. And these are the guys that are tearing defenses apart being these quarterbacks. So you mean to tell me the likes of, like I said, Ben, Michael Vick, RG3, you know, the guys that can take off that, you know, literally, they're quarterbacks, but don't get the same respect as guys that don't run in the 4.7, 4.6, you know, I mean, Michael Vick ran a 4.3, 4.4. So, I mean, granted, if you don't stop these guys, it's okay, but, you know, slower quarterbacks, they draw caution to because this can end up, you know, ruining a season, you know, a team season, if you will. So I feel they got to try and fix this somehow, some way. I mean, and respect all quarterbacks at the end of the day, but also, I mean, Chip Kelly is a questionable call-up against a quarterback that's not mobile. I don't think Bradford is a threat to run the ball. So, I mean, you put him in a situation where he's going to be that quote-unquote statue or you know, a duck in the crosshairs, and they get after him. So, I mean, you got to use better judgment, but I know they got to keep that player in the package to make defenses respect it, even if it's him or Tebow or, you know, Sanchez or Bradley out of that backfield. Maybe defense guess if it's going to running back or if the quarterback still has the ball. I mean, that is the situation of that play. Serious, I saved you for last because this is the rivalry out of that division being the AFC North and one of the better rivalries in the NFL being the Steelers and the Ravens. And I know your boy Big Ben knows a ton about number 55 coming off that edge. But your thoughts on the play and how do you feel from what you heard from both of the chefs here in the brunch?
You know, honestly, fellas, I honestly have to back what the chefs are saying here. You know, watching the play several times over and over again. I personally, you know, do not like Terrell Suggs. Can't stand him. He has, over the course of his career, been in the middle of some questionable, albeit dirty, plays throughout his career. Go back to last year where he stomped on, you know, Le'Veon Bell and, you know, and this Pittsburgh Steelers, Baltimore Ravens rivalries and, you know, the other questionable antics and things that he's done throughout the course of his career. But for the Philadelphia Eagles at this point to be up in arms about a play on a running quarterback, I can't falter for that, you know. And as much as I would like to come on the air and bash him and, you know, call him yuck mouth and all this other type of nonsense that I normally do, he did nothing wrong here. You know, as an outside linebacker, again, we've all played the position. We all understand the game as well as anybody. Your job, especially on the read option play, is to take out the quarterback. Can't explain the discussion. Terrell Suggs was put in a no-win situation because of the sissification of the league. Albeit, you know, it's Sam Bradford. You know, this dude has been taped together with Olive uses duct tape so many damn times that if the wind blows, he's turning another ACL. You know what I'm saying? So, this guy, I feel bad for Suggs in this particular situation. I feel bad for the Ravens for having been penalized on the specific play. Terrell Suggs did nothing wrong here. So, again, like I was saying, if the Eagles want to be up in arms about anything or anybody, you got to go to the quote-unquote genius in the room, self-proclaimed genius in the room, being Chip Kelly, for first of all, not flipping the play. Okay, anybody who knows anything about Terrell Suggs and the Baltimore Ravens, you don't run that play strong side, period. Period. You don't do that. You know what I'm saying? So that's first and foremost. So, you know, Chip Kelly, if he wants to run a read option, flip the play. If he wants to do something else, you know what? Don't put your quarterback and your franchise in that bad of a position, okay? Let's keep it 100. You're not winning many games with Timothy Tebow at quarterback. You're not winning many games with Mark Sanchez at quarterback. So why in the world, the first quarter of a preseason football game against the Baltimore effing Ravens, would you run a read option play to the strong side knowing that T-Sizzle is more than likely going to take your quarterback out anyway? Because that's what the defense is trying to do. So, again, Terrell Suggs and the Ravens did nothing wrong there, in my honest opinion. Fortunate enough, you know, Brad was able to get back up, and that shows a little bit about, you know, his recovery. And, you know, I heard last week, you know, Chip Kelly and the Eagles talking about how we want to make sure we test his leg and test his ability to take hits and this, that, and the third. He took a big one yesterday and he popped back up. So if you're an Eagles fan, you should be, I guess, excited or happy that, you know, he didn't, you know, hurt himself to stay down there, unlike RG3, but that's another conversation for another day.
Right. And, you know, that, were you trying to say something, Chandler?
No, that was me, actually, Nacho. And I have to say, to Sirius's point, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt anyone, but just to his point, if you are an Eagles fan, you should be happy for the fact that he got hit and got back up. But they're not happy because they know at any given time he is going to go down. That's why they're not happy. That's why if you're satisfied with your quarterback and know that he's going to be there for 16 games and you know that he's good enough to go, you don't worry about that hit. You don't give two rats behinds about that hit. The fact that he's got injuries before and the fact that he just came off of an injury and the fact that they know this body is frail, that's why. And I have to give Chip Kelly, actually, I know you're bashing him, I have to give him credit. Because what we do, what does Herm say? We play to win the game. Well, it doesn't help you if you try Sam Bradford out there for the first 3 weeks, that offense is clicking and everything goes well and he gets injured. Because you didn't want to take the chance on him during the preseason to test out to see if he would be okay. Granted, I don't want to see him get injured, but we all know on this panel he will. So if they can figure out if he's going to be okay now and preseason 1, 2, 3 and not have to find out week 4, I think that's a better case than them taking the chance of him not playing or protecting him or not throwing him out there or not running those type of plays. Because this is Chip Kelly's offense. This isn't Sam Bradford's offense. So Chip Kelly is going to run the kind of offense he wants, and that's what he wants in there. Sam Bradford better be able to run those plays and run them the right way. So to Sirius's point, if you're an Eagles fan, you should see the fact that he got hit like that, got back up and kept playing as a good sign. But because they know he's going to get injured, they all are scared.
Okay. Anything else behind the situation before we get away from this Eagles situation? Because it is an interesting one. And I do understand where you're coming from, Nacho. You know, you give Chip Kelly credit. But if I know that this guy is the quote-unquote, to me, going to be the starter for the team, you know, I'm going to run plays that, you know, fit him. And this is his first time being with this offense. Like, this is his first glimpse with this offense. I want to see him throw the ball. You know, he's had collarbone situations, let alone his knee isn't stable. I mean, everything comes into play. I'd rather see him try to get away from pressure the right way, watching the pocket collapse instead of putting him into a read option situation. But this is the system that Chip Kelly has for this Philadelphia Eagles organization. And, I mean, this is going to be a part of the package that he's going to have to run. So he has to get used to this situation. He's going to have to take these hits. It is a good thing that he did get back up and was able to finish the game and get up on his own strength. But I wouldn't want to put my starter, especially the guy that I traded for, between him and Nick Foles in this situation, putting him in harm's way. So that's something that, you know, I question, but I do understand where you're coming from, Nacho. This is the situation. They got to run it. And Chip Kelly, I mean, the hat is being tipped toward you. I question it. Nacho's giving you the tip of the hat. So I question that. Moving forward, my next controversial dish that I have is a very, very crucial an interesting one. Now, seeing this information on this, and I thought it would be an interesting dish to throw around the kitchen and seeing how you guys felt about this one. Now, we all know the struggles and situations that are going on in the middle of the Bay, a.k.a. San Francisco, where 22 players have left, and a coach being Harbaugh has also left, making 23 people that have left that organization. Now, one of which is Chris Borland, the rookie from last season that actually had gotten concussed and retired the season after and was an awesome linebacker for this defense, you know, one of the more stout defenses in the NFL. He is now becoming an advocate to be anti-NFL. The more and more that he watches the game, the more and more, you know, he kind of cringes at how vicious and violent and dangerous this game is. And knowing the fact of this game being bigger, stronger, faster, he's saying the only purpose that he watches NFL games is to watch the friends that he's made. I'm thinking more or less because of the 49er friends that he has on that organization. But he's actually been speaking out on how, you know, vicious this game is. And for you to be a good player, you have to put your body in the harm's way. And a lot of the quote-unquote players in the NFL that are concussed don't mention it, because they want to continue to play. So there are people that are out there playing in the NFL with concussions and don't want it to be mentioned, I guess, because they don't want to miss the game check. I don't know if they pulled a game check or not, because if they're injured, I still think they get paid. However, Borland puts an interesting twist on things, that he's only been a part of the league for 1 year and is coming out and speaking against the NFL. And I kind of understand that the saying, you get what you sign up for, you know, and He came out of college. He seen big money. I don't think it was a money-driven situation or perspective for him coming to the NFL, but he went through a season and got into a concussion situation, had to sit out, and gave it some thought in the offseason and said he was done with the game. And knowing, you know, guys like Patrick Willis that walked away from the game and so many other players that have gotten concussions and basically a part of the CTE situation and, you know, players that come to my mind right now like Jim McMahon or Junior Seau, like I'm ranting to try and think of some of the players that have been in this situation. I want to see how you guys feel about this one because I thought it would be interesting to throw around the kitchen that we now have a player that has not been a part of this league more than 4 or 5 years. Let me just give him a window. And is against football altogether, football and the NFL. But knowing that this is the spectrum that we love, I'm not going to lie. I love football. I love football. I'm not going to lie. I love the tenacity. I love the viciousness of it. I love big hits. I even put up a post about dudes getting lit up. You know, like, I think the nature of the sport, I guess because we like the essence of the gladiator situation, if you will, of the sport. But I want to see how you guys feel about Boylan, if he has something, so on and so forth. We'll dig into this one. Nacho, I'll start off with you first, since you know so much about this San Francisco 49er team. Your thoughts on Chris Boylan and him being anti-football / NFL right now.
I read this story earlier. I read it a couple of days ago when it came out. And the thing is, you know, hashtag not cut out. You're not cut out for the sport, so just leave it. Why do you have to trash it when you leave? Why do you have to degrade it when you're gone? This is a sport that not only gave you paychecks, but it gave you a free education. This is a sport that not only, I'm very sure you have multiple friends who are football players. You're going to have lifelong friends, lifelong coaches, mentors that are football players and coaches in your life. Why are you degrading a sport that has done so much for you outside of the game as well as inside of it? That's my only question. You get a concussion, you don't like it, you don't want to play. That's understandable. I'm not downgrading him because of that. You make a decision in your personal life. Whatever you decide is what you want. If that's what you want to do, then you go ahead and do it. You want to retire at an early age because you don't want to get concussed and you want to live with your children to a ripe old age, and you do that. But don't come back and talk about a sport that has done so much to you as being dehumanized because you are not, I mean, I hate to go there, but you're not man enough to go get a football at the bottom of a pile, and that's dehumanizing. Let's grow up, man. You're just too scared to play the game, and now your manhood has been questioned, and now your only defense is this game is no good because of concussion. No. Can they do things better to, you know, fight the signs of concussions or keep guys from doing things to hurt themselves outside of, you know, that 60-minute interval of a game? Possibly. But the fact that because of that, this game is dehumanizing because of, you know, certain things that you can't handle, it's just ridiculous. It's asinine for him to state some of the things he stated. I don't agree with hardly any of it. The only thing I can, you know, not disagree with or not have a problem with is the fact that he retired because of his concussions and he thought of his family. That's the only thing that I find was a valid argument on his behalf. Everything else seems to be just ridiculousness. I don't understand it. This guy has done football his entire life. Like I said, they gave him a free education. And you know, the paychecks, however big or small they were, we know the minimum wage in the NFL. You were getting paychecks. You were getting paid, regardless if that's the driven to join the NFL or not. You were still getting paid. It's not as much as I would like to see him go as far as leaving, stating why you left, and letting us know that's it. But just carrying on and being an advocate against the NFL and football, just stop it.
You have a blue star?
Yeah, you know, no, okay, Sirius, I'm sorry. I actually had it muted because I was actually typing something. But Sirius, I want to come to you next. Your thoughts on this situation where they're trying to protect these players you know, especially with the CTE lawsuit that they had going on. A lot of these players that have been concussed, and I'm going back thinking to another guy in the mid-90s that actually went up against guys like Belichick and the Patriots organization and Ted Johnson, and how his concussion situation loomed big for the NFL. Your thoughts on, you know, Chris Borland's statement and him being anti-football NFL and trying to become an advocate toward this situation?
You know, let me start off by saying this, you know, to all those men who are struggling later on in life because they play this game, you know, keep fighting, keep doing what you have to do to make your life better. Rest in peace to those who have passed away or taken their own life because of the situations that they have endured while playing this game. I'm starting by saying that. Because what I'm about to say next may be a little bit insensitive. For those of you all, you know, the age of 7 or until who want to play this game, play the damn game. You know, this is a gladiator sport. This is a hit or be hit type of atmosphere. It's a beautiful game when played correctly. again, you hit on this as you started, you know, throwing us around the building. You know, this is something that you signed up for. You know, this is something that you went and signed up for. You wanted to be drafted. You wanted to go play collegiate ball. And it's not like you were blindsided by the physicality of this ball game. It wasn't like you was caught in the middle of a bait and switch. And you thought you were playing golf, and all of a sudden you're in the gladiator ring being hit by linebackers and running backs. So you knew what you were getting yourself into. For Chris Borland to become such a advocate against the game of football and become, you know, another pawn, if you will, for the naysayers and for the sissification of men who have, you know, lost an attack against the physicality of the game, it saddens me. Again, if you want to go retire, you know, early, like my man Nacho said, and spend time with your family and, you know, kids and whatever else you want to do, go sell cars or flip burgers at Walmart or, you know, McDonald's, whatever you want to do, that's your business, you know. But to sit there and try to damn this game as being a bad sport because you got sand in your man region and don't want to play the game anymore, that's your business. Don't downplay this game because you're not man enough to take it anymore. You know, after being hit, you know, so many times and, you know, playing the college game. I agree with one thing he said, though. You know, there are many men that play this game that get concussed and for whatever reason don't want to come out of the game. There are men that get concussed and, you know, play the game, and which is why we have in today's day and age the concussion syndrome. And I can go back as far as 2 or 3 years ago when, you know, Troy Polamalu, you know, would lie about concussions to keep playing the game. You know, and who knows what type of long-lasting effect that's going to have on him now that he's retired and is looking to move on. You know, again, you know, I said this in the beginning, Junior Seau took his own life due to complications of this very thing. So I'm not going to sit there and downplay the fact that, you know, this is a dangerous situation, you know, being concussed and being, you know, hit repetitive times by, you know, linebackers and running backs and defenders and, you know, this, that, and the third. But you signed up for this. You know, each man has the right to make his own decision and do legally what's best for him and his family to provide for him and his family. Albeit you chose another route, you go on and do what you have to do, but it's still a great game. Don't disrespect the game. Just, you know, do what you got to do. I mean, bow out gracefully. Don't poo-poo on the game, because the game did nothing to you. You knew what you were doing when you got out to do it.
And I really wondered, because it was something that Nacho said, you know, they got to try and do something different. I don't know what they could do differently. I mean, granted, you have it's kind of like a factory, if you will. As soon as they leave college, you're testing them out in the middle of a combine, and you want them to be bigger, stronger, faster so they can be products of this NFL. And he was one of them. He knew what he was doing in that combine. He knew what he was doing when he was in, you know, training camp, OTAs, preseason, so on and so forth. I mean, he knew the viciousness of this game when he went to college. It wasn't even like he wasn't a D1 player playing good football there, you know. But it's interesting enough that, you know, the one thing that I'm thinking about is there are players that are in within the NFL, don't know who it was, didn't mention any names, that are playing this game concussed and still going out there playing. You know what I'm saying? Like, a concussion is when your brain shakes. I know about this situation. I have people that actually played in the game with me that had concussions and actually had to miss, you know, the remainder of the game and quite some time until the doctor, you know, approved them to get back out there. It's not a cool thing to know that your brain shook, you know, especially several different times against some of these players that are out there playing ball. But, you know, this is a sport that's been around before his parents. Like, let's be honest. I mean, before the 50s, so that has to be before his parents. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know how to approach the situation. I mean, it is a fun and violent sport to you know, watch and be entertained by. It's a $2 billion industry, probably plus more as of now as the sport grows. But I say Chandler for last, because Chandler is a guy that actually gone through the situation. Now, Chandler, I want you to, you know, speak upon also, I mean, what your thoughts on it, you know, on concussions alone, your experience with them, and also your thoughts on Borland, his statement and him being anti-football, and speaking on the viciousness in the sport.
You know, I find it interesting when somebody wants to criticize football, the words that get used, sissy, no, not a man. All of those derogatory terms, you know, which are what is that supposed to mean? Oh, you're a girl because you don't like football. Really? Okay. I've had 7 documented concussions. I've had 3 traumatic brain injuries. For those people who deal with things like that, to have days where you don't know who the hell you are, to not remember half your fucking life, to spend most of your days trying to figure out why you still are on this planet and whether or not you should put a gun in your mouth. And people say, well, you're in the service. You know what you signed up for. No, you don't. You don't know what you're signing up for. You don't know how valueless that the entity that you signed up with sees you as until they put you out there and say, we don't give a damn if you come back or not. No, he didn't know what he was signing up for with the NFL, because the business of pro football is not something you can know until you're in it. To know that how little they value them as human beings. Yes, it is a dehumanizing sport when you're injured and a coach comes by and says, what the hell you mean you can't play? Take a pill and get on the field. I don't care if you can't walk when you're done with this game. We need to win the game today. I don't give a damn if you die out there. That's a little dehumanizing. The business of college football. No one knows what that is until they play it. So you don't know what you're signing up for. Because, see, what we see is, oh, you know what you're signing for. No, we don't know. We don't know how they shoot these guys up so that they can't feel the fractures and the broken bones and the tears, so they can still go out there and practically die on the field for us, because this is a blood sport. And last I checked, participating in a blood sport makes you an animal, which means you're not human, which would be dehumanizing. Go figure. I don't have a problem with anything Chris Borland is saying, because it's all true. You think teams don't know that there's guys out there playing with concussions? That there's guys out there that some of them are going to blow their fucking brains out the day after they leave the game? And they don't care. And they don't care. They just want to win that game that day and make that money. They don't give a damn if these guys live or die, as long as they make that money. So no one's prepared for that. No one's prepared to sign up for that. No one understands that until they're in it. Do a lot of these guys stay in it? Yeah, why? Some have no other choice. That's all they got. That's all they know. Well, by the way, the education ain't free. There's a price to be paid for the education. The price they're paid with their bodies. You know how many? You know how many in the past year college players have stopped playing football because of the injuries they sustained in college? They don't even make it to the pros. You mean major universities have lawsuits against them right now for offensive and defensive linemen who have been forced onto the field before they were ready? The team doctors, by the way, work for the team. The doctor's Hippocratic Oath says first, do no harm. How the hell can you not do harm if your only goal is to get that player on the field for the team and not worry about his health? You think these team doctors don't know that there's guys out there playing with concussions that shouldn't be playing, but he's a sissy? Really? He's a sissy. Because he's speaking up against something that once he got into it, he found that, you know what? This is terrible. This is terrible. And just like most of the advocates against the VA, against the military, are former veterans, most of the advocates against football are going to be former players, the ones who've actually been through it. Not us fans who have no fucking clue about what it is for somebody to walk up to you when you're sitting there with your kneecap on backwards and tell you, I don't care, go out there and play. Oh, and by the way, when you retire in football, this is the only sport when you retire, they make you give back signing bonuses. They make you give back roster bonuses. They make you give them money back after they've broken you. Now give us our money back. Chris Borland's a sissy. He's not man enough. He's more man than a lot of these guys because he's willing to stand up and face the scrutiny and the scorn of people who don't understand what it is to be used up. To be treated like a piece of meat, like you do not have any value, and then thrown away when they're done with you.
Okay, so Kelly, if you speak in this manner, I mean, so do you think there should be more players that come out and speak against this? I mean, this is the sport that is putting, you know, food on the table for a lot, for the entire NFL, forget a lot of them, all of them that are involved in this. And do you think that players that are outside of the sport now that have, you know, i.e. retired or been in a situation where they didn't make the cut, are going to join him and speak up on this situation? I mean, do you think there are other players that will actually help him? Or do you think he'll be a man by himself speaking in this tone up against the NFL?
Because the business of football is so huge. Just like for years, it took factory workers decades and decades of people dying in factories to get safety measures installed. And whenever someone started speaking up against the factory, suddenly they were this and they were that, and no one supported them because, hey, people got to put food on their table, just like you said. A lot of these retired guys, they're trying to get jobs in the media. They're trying to get jobs in football. They can't speak up. The ones that can and do, they're called names. They're shunned. Mike Ditka has for years been railing against the NFL in the way they treat players. Oh, he's just old Ditka, man. He's just mad because he didn't get to make that money when he played. The Tony Dorsett's of the world. Guys like that have been speaking out against the NFL for years, but they're bitter ex-players. He's just mad. Because remember, the major media outlets that cover football are partners with the NFL. There are far more guys speaking out against the NFL than people realize, but they're minimized. They're minimized. There's going to come a point where those voices won't be minimized, but right now, no one's listening. No one cares. Because the value system in this country is you're not man enough if you criticize it. You're weak. You're weak and you're a sissy. You're a girl if you criticize it. And a lot of people don't have the intestinal fortitude to stand for that. They don't want that. So they just say, you know what? It's not me anymore. I mean, Chris Borland has nothing to gain by saying what he's saying. He's not making any money off of this. He's not going to get rich off of this. So why would he do it? Maybe to help somebody, maybe to save somebody else's life. Maybe to keep another Dave Duerson from happening. There's a thought. But no, there's a lot of guys that won't do it because they still rely on football. He still rely on football for a paycheck. You know how many ex-players from the Ditka era can't even get health insurance from the same game that broke them? They can't get any help with their physical issues that came from this sport? People don't think about that, though. No, it's just, you know, Chris Borland, you need to be quiet because his game gave you everything. It took a lot from him, too. It took a lot from him, too. And I think there are going to be more guys as we go forward. A lot more of these guys are retiring early and these kids in college that are quitting football. I think a lot of them are going to start speaking, but as long as the ESPNs and the Fox Sportses and all the major newspapers are partners with the NFL, not going to change. Let's be honest. As human beings, as Americans, we still love a blood sport, man. We still want to see the Lions versus the Christians. We still do.
Okay,
let me jump in here right fast, and then I'm going to let you pass it around. I agree with what Chandler's talking about to a certain extent. You know, I understand, you know, where he's coming from a physical standpoint. Again, I played the game, still play the game to this day. And again, I'm pretty sure, you know, through, you know, your injuries and injuries that you sustained, you know, you have a lot to speak on. My biggest stance is on this. You know, make your stand, okay? If you don't particularly care for the game, if you think that this game is bad for business, bad for your health, then, you know, get on your soapbox and say what you got to say. You know, I've been in a situation personally where I've, you know, been injured and been doped up to play. I've been in a situation where I feel as though I've been concussed. And because I was a running back or because I was a defensive player or whatever the case may be, I was told to take this pill or, you know, get shot up here and get my ass back out there and play. And again, I'm 31 now. You know, luckily I don't have any long-lasting effects from that. But again, I knew what I was getting myself into. And again, I wasn't fortunate enough to play, you know, at the NFL level or the collegiate level on that big of a stage. But I knew what I was getting myself into. I wasn't surprised by it. I wasn't a guy who was, you know, blindsided by the fact that this is a hit or be hit type of a game. And that's my whole point. You know, this wasn't something that Chris Borland was shocked in getting himself into. You know, he didn't hatch. He wasn't born hatched to be 20-something years old and just tossed into the game. You know what I'm saying? This dude wanted it. He was groomed. He was, you know, he was at OTAs. He was at training camps. He was, you know, at collegiate level. He was in the meeting rooms. I mean, he's seen this. He knew this. And again, what I'm saying is he's not the first person, ladies and gentlemen, to, you know, decide to bow out due to, you know, concussion. I mean, the dude is 27 years old. Junior Seau was a guy he just watched Junior Seau take his own life for this. He watched, you know, other NFL players who came up in the league, you know, the Dicka era, the Chuck Noll era, the, you know, the Bill Washington, you know, all these guys who came up under the real physical aspect of this game who are now suffering because of this. So again, he knew. You know, and again, I'm not disrespecting the man for bowing out and saying, you know what, you know, this isn't for me. This is not what I want to do with my life. This is not the way I want to go because, you know, this is a dangerous game. My biggest issue with him is him taking offense or, you know, being such a big advocate for something that he knew he was getting his own into. That's for me. This is how it looks for me. This is, you know what, I'm going to rob a bank. Okay, but I'm going to be shocked when I get 25 to life for armed robbery. You knew what you was doing. You knew the possibilities of the situation when you decided to go up into this bank and pull out your nine and start shooting shit up. You knew what you were getting yourself into. You wasn't shocked by that. That's my big issue with Borland. Not the fact that he decided to step away because this wasn't for him, or because he felt that, you know, he could make better life doing something else that is not, you know, injury or not anything like that. My issue is the fact that he's all of a sudden claimed that, you know what, I don't need this anymore. After the NFL, I can't doubt that. I'm not knocking anything you're saying, Chandler, because, again, I agree with you. You know what I'm saying? But on the flip side, you can't sit there and play victim here when you signed up for this, when you watched this, when you wanted to be this. You lifted those weights in the gym, like, you know, for 51 years because you wanted to be this. You ran the sports because you wanted to be this. Don't knock it now because you decided to do something else. Do something else. That's your business. I'm not knocking you for that.
Sirius, I think that you're mixing up his criticism of the business of the NFL. And you're taking that as a criticism of the game of football. Those are two different things. What you're talking about is the game. The game by itself, what I get out of it, he's not criticizing the game of football. What he's criticizing is the business of football. The business of football is dehumanizing. It's terrible. It's terrible. The game of football, that game that you see little kids playing in a park on Sunday and kids playing in high school and junior high school, and when kids get to college before they find out about the business of college football, that game, I guarantee you Chris Borland still loves. Guarantee you he loves that. The business of it, all the other stuff that comes along with it, is what he's speaking against. Not so much the game. But yes, could the game be made safer? Of course it could. Are they going to? Of course they're not. Why? Because no one wants them to. People like seeing people get laid out. We want to see guys get their knees blown up. We want to see Darryl Stingley happen. We do. Let's be honest. When that receiver's going across the middle and that DB lights him up, there's a small part of us that says, man, what it would be like if he don't get up? It's in all of us. It's in all of us. That little bit of violence is in all of us. But what Chris Borland is speaking on is the business of the game. And that, to me, is what he's criticizing. So I think, and that's where the fans get upset with the person, and I think they mix those two things up. I think if you ask Chris Borland, does he love the game of football, he would tell you yes. If you ask him, does he love the business of football, it absolutely would be no.
And Chandler, I think my point is you can not like the business and you can criticize and scream from the mountaintops all you want, but not once have I heard a solution. The biggest problem I have with people who want to be instant critics about any situation and any walk of life is it's all about criticizing and there is no solution involved. From the announcement to the retirement till now, I've heard nothing but criticism from him about this game. Not once have I heard a solution. And we talk about how the game is not going to change. When we talk about anything else, changing a culture starts with the beginning. And at the beginning, it's Pop Warner. And right now, Pop Warner, in every walk, and I know I only live out here in Arizona, and I don't get a lot, but in every Pop Warner league that I visit, that I go to, every league from the littlest to the youngest, they're heads up training. They're learning how to tackle correctly. They're learning how to hit correctly. They're learning how to not aim above the shoulders and not aim below the knees. They're hitting perfectly. I'm watching these young kids learn how to tackle and hit. That's going to be evident in the future. Right now, we're still dealing with this. So I think, yes, it will change in the way that this game is played when we talk about where people are hit, the concussion factor. Now, the business of the game, no one seems to be offering a solution. Now, what can be a solution? These players need to be their own solution because they make the CBA happen. Now, a lot of people like to put blame on the owners for strong-arming or forcing their hand, but the players had the opportunity to do what they needed to do in the CBA to get things done for themselves as it pertains to the insurance and the backdoor things of injuries and getting help after the game is over. But That's not they were what these players were looking for. These players were looking for getting paid now. So I think that's the biggest problem with what I find with Chris Borland is if you're going to criticize, that's fine and dandy. But since your retirement until now, I haven't heard one single type of any type of solution or you trying to come to one or ask people to help you and get a backing and try to figure out how to stop it from happening anymore to anyone else. Yes, you can dislike the business end, but there's only one way to solve that, and that's with solutions. On the field, I think that's going to take longer, a long, long future for these young kids to learn how to do that correctly and get tackling down to where it's not an aim for the head or the knees type of game anymore. It's a tackling correct game, and there's no coaching about it anymore. It's just ingrained into their system like it is now.
Well, you're right, Nacho. And again, some of the solutions are solutions that, listen, 15% of these players, let's say 15% of them, they're going to get paid. The other 85, they'll be lucky to last a year or two. So they have to weigh being an advocate and standing up for something or trying to figure out a way to feed their family. And let's be honest, what are most people going to pick? Survival. And I'm not saying that to knock them. Those are just facts. Again, you go back to the whole unionizing thing. You know how many years that a lot of people that were in these unsafe factories refused to join a union? Because they were worried about what happens if this doesn't work and I can't feed my family. What happens if I don't have a job after this? I'm the 48th guy on the roster. They can cut me. You've got guaranteed money. I don't. I can't afford to stand up for this. I can't afford to fight this. Well, they can, but they don't believe they can. And as you said, until more of them believe that it is worth the hardship that they will have to go through to make things better, it's not going to change. Until the NFL Players Association decides to take all of that money they're making from licensing and everything else and create a war chest, and say, we are not playing for the next year until you give us guaranteed contracts, until you guarantee us health insurance when we leave football, until you guarantee us that if you cut us because we're injured, we actually get the value of our contract, not $100,000 payout and no health insurance. Until they decide to do that, the only thing they're going to keep this in people's minds is guys like Chris Borland. Because if he didn't say what he said, we wouldn't be having this conversation. So that in of itself is a solution. The conversation has to start. And if it has to start because we want to criticize Chris Borland, fine. But the conversation is started. That's the most important thing. You say, where's the solution? The solution is in the fact that we're actually talking about this. The solution is in the fact that while we're talking about it, somebody's coming up with an idea. So what about this? What about this? Why did he suggest this? Why did he suggest that? There's your solution. But somebody has to start the conversation. Somebody has to be the guy that they criticize. Why did he say that? Well, he said it because of this, because of this, because of this, because of this. He's serving a purpose right now. He's serving a purpose. And maybe he's maybe that was his whole intent. Then the conversation started. He's willing to be the guy to take the slings and arrows so that we can have a conversation about how it could get better, so that guys like him can stop criticizing it. You know what I'm saying? So regardless of why we're here talking about this, we are talking about it because of him. That in of itself is the beginning of a solution.
Okay, if anything else behind that heck of a dish, Sports City, I love it, though. I love it. I think I did a good job trying to bring this to the kitchen. I didn't know it had that much behind it. Anything else, though, fellas? Good enough. Good enough. That silence helps me. The calling number is 917-889-9592. I thought we would just get started, but that dish cooked. I might as well stay right there in the NFL, get some more controversy going on. A position that I love in the NFL has two respectable running backs, if you will. I'm already going ahead and doing it. Adrian Peterson and Jamal Charles both coming out and saying that they are the, and I don't know why they use the guy, but hey, he's the pinnacle of the league in the NBA, being LeBron James. But Jamal Charles came out with a statement saying that he is the LeBron of the NFL. Adrian Peterson answered that situation and came back with the same thing. Now, one, I want to see how you guys feel about both of these running backs, because ideally you got I don't even know how to call it, a power back with a ton of speed and the whole organization back on his shoulders. And Jamaal Charles basically being the running back who has scat back ability, basically having to do it all, while the progression of, you know, Alex Smith actually comes to fold to be behind his offense, if you get what I mean. So and the one thing that comes to mind, even though it's not the game or the team that I should be thinking of, is that game where they played against the Raiders. He scored, what, 5 touchdowns and did it all in the running game and the receiving game in that game. So, you know, Jamaal Charles has an interesting stance on it. But then again, you look at Adrian Peterson and how many people still know what Adrian Peterson creates and brings to the football field. I want to see how you guys feel about both of these running backs having that heart to go out there and say that. And of course, everybody has to, you know, put themselves in the pinnacle of being the best at whatever they do for the respective sport. But having these two come out and speak like this is interesting in the month of August as we get ready for September, which is only 8 days away. I can't believe that we are this close to the season. Chandler, no, Nacho, I'll start with you first. Your thoughts on both of these running backs, AP or Jamaal, which running back do you back the most in this situation? And, you know, the thought of them speaking and putting LeBron in that perspective as well.
You know, the LeBron of the – I don't know if you want to be – I mean, I guess you could be – what do they want to say? They're the most athletic in the league then? Is that what they're trying to say? But at that point, my thing is – Jamaal Charles quietly went through the same injury, although not the same time frame. I think he hurt his earlier in the season, being only able to play like a game in the 2011 season. But in the 2012 season, when he came back, he quietly ran for 1,500 yards at 5.3 yards a carry. So I know he was overshadowed by Adrian coming back on such a short time, running for 2,000. But this guy not only suffered the same injury, but came back the next year and still ran for 1,500 yards, did what he needed to do as a running back, and you know, he keeps going. I have to say, personally, though, it's Adrian Peterson for me. If we're going to compare the two and say which one is a better running back, it's got to be Adrian Peterson. Everything Jamaal Charles can do, Adrian Peterson can do. But not only can he do that, but he can run you over as well. And Jamaal Charles is not known to shy away from a hit or trucking someone. Adrian Peterson just does it more flawlessly and at a higher rate from my taking. The yards after contact for me for Adrian Peterson is just so greatly a bigger number than Jamaal Charles is. And the fact that it's not only yards after first contact, but second and third and even fourth. I mean, it's just as many times as Adrian will get hit, he'll keep running. So, you know, if we're going to compare someone to the best in the NBA at their position, not only probably the best in the NBA overall, but most definitely at their position, then at the running back position, for the NFL, I would have to say it's Adrian Peterson is a comparable to LeBron James more so than Jamaal Charles. And not to take away anything from Jamaal, I know he's got a high yards per carry. I know he runs the ball very well. He can catch the ball in the backfield. He's everything you want in a running back. I'm not taking anything away, but if you got to make it a 1A, 1B, my definite 1A is Adrian Peterson. Jamaal Charles is right there, though. You know, it's just one of those things where you're one of the best in the league, but there's just someone a little better than you. And there's nothing wrong with that, because the talent Jamaal Charles brings to the field game in and game out, all 32 teams would want on their team. So there's nothing wrong with Jamaal, the fact that Adrian's just a little better.
Okay, Chandler, your thoughts on the situation with both of these running backs claiming to be the best in the game right now, being Adrian Peterson and Jamaal Charles, both stating that they're the LeBron of the game. Your thoughts on who do you think may potentially be better? And at this given time right now in the preseason, these two are having a verbal spat. I won't say it's a beat.
Okay, let me ask a question.
How many games did Kansas City Chiefs win last year? Or better question, did they make the playoffs?
No, no, they did not.
No, they didn't. Okay. Did the Minnesota Vikings make the playoffs? No, they did
not.
No,
they didn't.
LeBron James has been to 6 NBA finals, I believe, correct? 1, 2, right?
6, yeah.
How many combined Super Bowls have Adrian Peterson and Jamal Charles been to?
0.
There you go. There you go. So, let me get this straight. Jamal Charles, you're LeBron James of the NFL, yet you've never taken that bum team, put them on your back, and carry them to a Super Bowl. No. Adrian Peterson, you want to be LeBron James. So then you've taken your team on your back by yourself and got them to a championship game. Oh, wait, that's right, you have it. Shut up, both of you. What the hell is wrong with these dudes? I'm going to be LeBron James. How about you be the Adrian Peterson of the NFL? How about you be the Jamal Charles? How about you be the Jamal Charles who can actually play a full season and not get hurt or something? How about you be the Adrian Peterson that I mean, seriously, man, what the hell is wrong with these cats? Is being you not good enough? Are you? I want to be LeBron James. Really? You want to be a basketball player, but you're a football player. So you want to be considered the best basketball player in the NFL. Okay. They're both the LeBron James of the NFL, which means they both suck because LeBron James can't play football. I'm done.
Not like that. Not like that. And LeBron can play football. LeBron can play football. I see his high school tape, but that was in high school. He didn't, you know, he went straight from school to the league. But I know they didn't mean they're tone of being a basketball player in the NFL. I think they more or less wanted to be the face of the NFL. I guess at the running back position, that's what I'm taking from this. I want to see how you feel about this one, serious, knowing how Nacho threw this out there. He went 18. Chandler didn't give a perspective on both of these guys, basically ran them through the dirt. But your thoughts on both of these guys with the statements that they've made?
I'm leaning more towards Chandler than I am Nacho in this situation. You know what I'm saying? In order to be the LeBron James of football, you really have to take chicken crap and make chicken salad out of it. And these men, and you know, albeit they're great in their own respective right and their own respective talent, I actually believe they're not even the best back in the league. Let's keep it 100. I mean, far be it for me to toot my own horn. I got a guy, you know, from Michigan State who rocks number 26 playing for the Steelers. He's pretty sick to damn self. But that's another conversation for another day. You know what I'm saying? So,
he's not even the best running back in the game.
You know,
wait,
at the position.
Wait, I am going to say something. Watch this one. So you mean to tell me, hey, look. Le'Veon is good. He's awesome. I'm not going to take nothing away from him. That boy balls. He balls. He reminds me some of his cuts. He reminds me. I'm not going to say he is because he's not. But he reminds me. Now, you're putting him in this conversation with Adrian Peterson already. At least AP.
You know, I'm keeping it 100. I love AP. I really do. I love his game. Jamal Charles, again, won me several $100s on fantasy football leagues, you know, a couple years ago. So I'm not mad at him. But you know, again, you know, to be the LeBron James of anything, you know, it's funny because now we're using LeBron James as an adjective to describe other things. but to be the LeBron James of anything, you really got to be able to make chicken salad out of chicken crap. And none of these men have been able to do that. You know, I mean, I understand you want to be the face of a franchise and the face of your position in the NFL. In a quarterback-driven league, it's very difficult to be the face of anything unless your name is Manning or Brady. Let's keep it 100. To be the face of a position, you have to be able to take your team over the hump and take your team over the edge. And neither one of these men have been able to do that. You know, you're good.
But let's be fair. Let's be fair. Okay. Now, let's be fair, though. It's different situations, especially for Adrian Peterson. I mean, this is the first year that we may have a glimpse of him having a quarterback with him. Because at first he had Christian Ponder. He had Christian Ponder, where I thought Christian Ponder was going to be good coming out of college. He came into the league, and everybody was baffled, like, where did all his talents go? Like, should he be an NFL player, let alone a starter, at this given time while he was dealing with Minnesota? And at that given time, Adrian Peterson still went out there and put up 2,100 yards. And carry that team to a playoff, and he can't do it all at this given time. So I do understand. If he could run and throw the ball to us, it'd be a different scenario. But understanding that the two different sports in a given situation, we got to call it, chill. Y'all been cooking on day chefs. Y'all been cooking. Got people calling like, oh, my gosh. Okay, I want to talk too now. Okay, so we got a caller calling in, by the way, the state of Georgia. Nas, welcome to the brush. How are you feeling this morning?
Oh, I'm good, man. What up?
We doing good. We doing good. We got a lot of stuff going on. But your thoughts on what you heard thus far about the running back rant between AP and Jamal, and do you have a stance toward either of these running backs if you give one of them the leg up, or are you going with Le'Veon Bell?
Respect all three of those guys you just named, but Adrian Peterson is that dude, especially in comparison with LeBron James, because when you're talking LeBron James, you're talking about a physical freak, and Peterson kind of fits that mold. And he's also, like you just stated, next-level running back, ran for two stacks with that quarterback.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of unheard of. And then the other thing is the straight-up football-to-basketball comparison is not fair, because a basketball player can affect the game much, much more than a talented football player can, because it's much more of a team sport. So a Barry Sanders, as great as he was, can be on bad teams and not make the playoffs. In the NBA, pretty much, if you got at least an all-star caliber player, if you get competent role players on them, you're at least good enough to get in the playoffs. Football, that doesn't exist. And I know this is a quarterback-driven league, and I would say that's because the rules make it that way. But even an all-timer quarterback, if he doesn't have a good line, if he doesn't have receivers, if he doesn't have a defense that can get the other team off the field, he ain't winning nothing either. So the comparison of football to basketball can't be straight up, but I just look at it as a thing of who's a freak of nature, and that's Adrian Peterson, man.
But that's why it's a stupid comparison to make, and that's why they shouldn't have made it, because they're the ones who made the comparison. The fact of the matter is LeBron James has as much notoriety and has looked at the way he does because he took two teams that nobody else could have taken to an NBA final. Did he win with them? No. But he took them there, literally by himself. So if you're going to compare yourself to a guy that did that, then you better take your team to a championship game. Otherwise, shut up comparing yourself to somebody else. Here's a thought. How about you be the best you of the league you're in? Don't compare yourself to somebody else when the comparison is flawed from jump, because last I checked, carry your team by yourself.
I mean, is that right that Adrian Peterson can't carry that team by himself? Like, can he
do
the
Super Bowl?
Nobody can in football. That's what I'm trying to say.
Ponder can't get them to a Super Bowl. He's gonna have to make passes. Like him,
hold on,
Chandler. If he could carry the ball 42 times and not get time, and that's not fair to him. If he can carry the ball 42 times and get 400 yards and win the game, then okay, then you're that dude. He still is that dude at the running back position. But I'm saying, geez, like he needs everything to pan out for him. Like everything needs to pan out for him.
Exactly. And the comparison, LeBron James is the most indispensable piece on his team. The Minnesota Vikings won 7 games without Adrian Peterson last year. They won 7 games without him. So he's not the most indispensable piece on his team. Jamal Charles, here's a thought. The next time your team wins 10 games, let me know. Okay? So you're not the most indispensable piece on your team. It's a stupid comparison for them to make. And it just shows just how little thought they give to themselves. Listen, man, this is football. It's not basketball. You cannot compare yourself to a basketball player and say you're the of the league. You can't do it because it's a dumb comparison. And not for nothing, it also highlights the fact that you're not really indispensable. LeBron James is indispensable to his team. Adrian Peterson and Jamal Charles are not. So why make the comparison? Because now guess what? You just expose yourself as, well, you're really not that good, are you?
I think both of them are that good, though. That's the difference between. I think they both are good. Great. I mean, from what they put forth in the NFL when they while they were on the field, and I feel bad because Adrian Peterson was off the field because of a family issue. It wasn't even injury or a suspension. It was a suspension, but it wasn't like he was abusing the drug or caught up in something illegal. Well, yeah. I mean, how you understand what I'm getting at? It was basically something that happened in house in his own house, comparable to him being on the field and something crazy happening, or him out in the public doing something crazy. And they went 7-9 last year with a Teddy Bridgewater, but those running backs that they had back there, being McKinnon and what's the other guy, Asiata, like that. I'm not giving them the leg. Listen, if you think that they could get rid of Adrian Peterson for them dudes and still be successful, and maybe I could be wrong. Adrian Peterson could go down and they could get a 10 or 11 win season, then I could be wrong there. But there's no way I'm putting them two in that conversation to be like, we could replace Adrian Peterson and still move forward. I don't think anybody in the state of Minnesota or people in the NFL would back that thought, at least me. And leave me. I don't know if other people will feel some type of way.
Yeah, let's go back to that Chris Rock thing, man. You say you can drive your car with your feet. If you wanted to, you could do it, but that don't mean you should do it. So, I mean, yeah, if you can get AP, you get AP, like, no question. Like, okay, some other guys could come in and get some yards, but they ain't him. So, yeah,
Let us not forget when AP did have a quarterback, they went to the NFC Championship game and lost to the Saints. And the reason they lost to the Saints was not AP, was an interception by the quarterback. So you can't say that, he can't take them to the promised land when he got someone who could throw them the ball. He helped them get to the NFC Championship game, and the person who was supposed to help him helped, conjointly get him to the Super Bowl through the interception. So it wasn't on AP to get them there. He did everything he had to do in that season. So I'd have to say, you can't compare because it's not a comparison. But when you're talking about who's better, when he had a quarterback that could throw them the ball, that's what they did. Last year we saw the opposite. We had a team that could not run the ball. They got 7 wins. Put someone in there who can run the ball. Let's see what they can do. That's the big thing I think we should take away from the whole comparison.
Yeah, which means neither one of them are indispensable. LeBron James is indispensable. The hell with the basketball.
The whole goal is to win the Super Bowl. Without Adrian Peterson, you can't. That is indispensable, correct? The whole goal.
Because I think they could win the Super Bowl without Adrian Peterson as long as they have a good quarterback. As long as they have a good quarterback.
No, they can't.
Why? Really? When Adrian Peterson retires, the Minnesota Vikings will never get in the playoffs again because they no longer have Adrian Peterson. Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, my goodness gracious.
No, in basketball, you can make the singular comparison. In football, you can't make the singular comparison.
He's
still going to need the protection. He's going to need the receipt. Like, all of that is based on that. If we want to make this comparison, we have to say if we send Adrian Peterson to the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they won 7 games next year, that's not an NBA championship, but it's damn near the equivalent that he could take that bad and make it competitive.
There you go. That's the comparison. That's the comparison.
But the indispensable point is correct. Because without Adrian Peterson on the Minnesota Vikings, this is the comparison they were making, on the Vikings. He's playing for the Vikings, not anybody else. Without him, they don't make the playoffs. Point blank, period. Without Adrian Peterson, they don't make the playoffs, no matter what Teddy Bridgewater puts on the field. They need Adrian Peterson as much as any other team would want or love to have him. They need him. That's the point. As much as, not so much as you can't make the comparison to NBA, we got past that. But the indispensable part, you need Adrian Peterson if you're a Minnesota Vikings team. That's the point.
You need a running back. Do you need Adrian? Do you need a running back with Teddy Bridgewater and the progress he's made? Really? Really? Yeah. So you telling me that if I get the Minnesota Vikings a really good running back, right? Not a really good running back with the progress that Teddy Bridgewater's made, they won't make the playoffs this year?
put Jamal Charles on that team?
No. Matter of fact, I'm gonna give you a name. I'm gonna give you a name. Since we want to do this, I'm gonna give you a name. Let's see. Darren Sproles. Let's put Darren Sproles on the Minnesota Vikings. Do they make the playoffs?
No. Because he's not a three down running back, and he's good for the spread. He's good for the screen. He's not an everyday running back. They need a running back. If you want to put someone in there, all right, check it out. If you want to put someone in there, and I hate to do this, there's probably only one or two other running backs to plug in that in there, and that could take over and do as well as Adrian. And that's probably Matt Forte and Le'Veon Bell. Any other one than that, you can't plug and play in that.
So that he's not indispensable to the team. He's not indispensable.
See, but this is the problem, though. You could do that for anybody in the NFL. Tom Brady sits down, Matt Castle comes in, and gets 11 wins. It's not that easy. It don't work like that because you can always replace people. But the Vikings are built to run. Why?
Right.
Because they had Adrian Peterson. So that's why they had the lineman they had. That's why they had the scheme they had. All of that is changing. But Teddy's coming along, but we got to be careful about it. You know what I mean? I hope the best for Teddy. I think he's one of the best young, great talents. But, man, we got a small sample size right now. We can't start coordinating. We can't crown him yet now.
But that's why I don't like the comparison, and that's why I went where I went there with it. That's why I dislike the fact that they even made the comparison. Because it's a dumb comparison to make. Make yourself, if you're going to compare yourself to somebody in your sport. Because by comparing yourself to LeBron James, what you're doing is pointing out the fact that in football, no one's indispensable. No one's indispensable in football. So you're LeBron James, really? You think we can't win without you? Really? You understand what I'm saying? Now you got Manning up there to me. Oh, he thinks he's the reason we're here. Okay, let's see what happens next. You understand what I'm saying? You're opening the door to all kind of bad things. You're opening the door to all kind of bad things. Remember, the sponsors already don't like Adrian Peterson in Minnesota. Okay? They already don't like him. The governor doesn't like him in Minnesota. He might want to just shut up.
Yeah. I don't know what to say about that because those people kind of test the temperature of the culture and then they get out there and make comments and then after it calms down, now the governor and all those people have nothing to say. Radisson and all them people aren't tripping anymore. Because this is the reality of that. The majority of American households do actually discipline their kids in that same manner. And that's why the corporate outrage wasn't as big as the citizen outrage here. Because a lot of us still do that. Hopefully we can get rid of that in the next, decade or so. But, man, that's not going to disappear tomorrow. So they tried to run AP. They tried to run AP over the coals, man, but it really just didn't stick because so many people do that right now. There's a kid getting their ass whooped right now across the apartment building from me walking into the house. I'm looking outside right now.
You're careful. You gotta report that parent. You gotta tell. You gotta report that parent. Man,
I didn't mind. You gotta take his.
I'm telling you, discipline works, man. Let me stop, man, because I feel like I'm an advocate for it. Let me stop. I know it sure got us in line. So anything else behind it? Listen, Sports City, I only really got to like 3 or 4 dishes today, and we are at the doorstep of the show. I had the running back dilemma in Dallas, and knowing that they played the Niners today, I wanted to discuss that. Jose Reyes said he already wants out of Colorado after the trade for him and Tulowitzki. He said he does not want to be in Colorado. He wants to win. So he's already regretting being there. And I had a situation I wanted to throw the Astros, the Cubs, and the Mets. All three of these teams, which have struggled in the past, are all three relevant to make a postseason run. I had topics right there, but we are at the doorstep of the show. But I do have one question before you guys leave. I need plugs and closeouts from each of you. Does Tiger get it done today? He's 2 strokes back in second place. He has not won an event in 2 years, people. I'm going to say it, and I may be wrong if people feel the type of way. I'm not the biggest golf follower, but I say the biggest name in golf has not been relevant to win an event in 2 years, and he can potentially do it today. I need plugs and closeouts from each of you. If you guys want to touch on the Tiger situation, you can. Nas, I come to you first. Thank you for stopping by, man. Anything that you'd like to shout out or promote? And also, do you think Tiger can get it done today at Wyndham?
Nothing to promote, so just shout out to y'all for doing a good show again, man. Y'all always hold it down. Much respect to y'all. I'm going to keep downloading and listening and all that. As far as old Eldridge, Mr. Kablazian, I could care less if he ever wins again. Honestly, I might give me a little chicken foot and put it in a jar or something and wish losses on that man. I've never been a fan, and I hope he continues to lose. I enjoy his demise.
Oh, my God. Kablazian? Wow. Okay. Wait. If I'm a Tiger fan, I don't know. I respect Tiger for what he did. Only thing that bothered me was how he picked on his pops and said his father was this, that, and the third toward his mom, and the next thing you know, the apple don't fall too far from the tree. Tiger do the same thing to his wife / baby mama, just like Mr. Woods did the same thing. So that's the only thing. That's the only thing I don't get, Tiger. That's personal. That's the only thing. He picked on his pops, did the same thing. But thank you for stopping by, Nas, of course, and thank you for the love and support. Wish we'd have had you here earlier. We have some good stuff cooking in the kitchen. You got to check the download what popped off earlier. Mr. Silver, I need a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you'd like to promote. And also, does Tiger get it done today?
I honestly don't think Tiger gets it done today. I think he finishes in second. I think this is close for him. This is what he needs. this is a four round set that he needed definitely to get a hold of. He needed to play all 4 days. He needed to make a cut. He needed to feel good. I don't think he needed to get to the top of the leaderboard like he did. I just think he needed to make the cut, play Saturday and Sunday, and have some good rounds. The fact that he was at the leaderboard up there on Saturday, it speaks volumes. I think this guy's not ready to lay it to pasture. But the fact that we did have a major not too long ago and his name was not spoken more than a few times on Saturday and Sunday, if at all, just to note the fact that we were not talking about Tiger, let you guys know a little bit about the sport. Jordan Spieth, Rory, these guys, Jason Day, they're making names for themselves. They're winning. They're doing the things that we expected them to do, which is win majors, some of them winning them back-to-back, some of them winning, a few years apart. But the thing is that they're winning now. So the biggest name was Tiger, I think, now. It's a young group of kids that we get to talk about, a couple of them American and a couple of them not. So it's a big step in the sport of golf. The fact that Tiger's still playing around will prove to the fact that he will beat Jack's record. It's not going to be anytime soon. But the fact that he's still young and has many, many more years to play, we will see weekends like this, and we will see flashes of, quote-unquote, the old Tiger. I think what will happen will be a major or two, not in the next year, but maybe in the next year, two years. We'll see him play at the, quote-unquote, old Tiger ways. Win a major here, win a major there, and then Jack's record will be taken. It won't be a streak of wins. It won't be anything like we're used to Tiger playing, because I don't think the dominance he displayed for those many years will ever be seen again. But just the way that his talent is still there, we're seeing it this weekend, and we will see it again. At Nacho in the Box, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Food Fight. We got some great fights coming up. Again, Chandler. I hear that the Yankees are back up a half game. That won't last for long, and that's the bottom line because Nacho said so. WWE tonight, I'm excited. 4 hours, SummerSlam. It's going to be amazing. When I equate a lot of things in my life to wrestling because it's fun. So at the end of the MLB season, when Toronto has taken that AL East, it'll be similar to WrestleMania 3 when Hulk Hogan body slammed that big guy, Andre the Giant. It'll be just amazing to watch those Yankees go down. And again, you guys are awesome. Thanks for letting me come in. Great show today. The Chris Borland topic was amazing. Got some great insight and learned some new things.
Wow. Thank God he didn't put that back-to-back MVP and all that other stuff together. Sports City, I did it. I got him out of his mindset. I'm doing good work. That's what you call cooking. That's what you do when you cook. You get him out of their mindset. Chandler, I need a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you like to promote. And also, do you think Eldridge would? He said Kaplazian. Listen, Nas, I'm so upset with you. I'm so upset with you. Oh my God, I'm using that for the day. I'm using that. Don't let Tiger win because I'm using it. It'll be posted everywhere, believe me. Thank you to Nas. Mr. Knight, I need to plug, close out anything that you'd like to shout out. And also, do you think Eldridge gets it done?
Listen, to say Tiger's still not the most dominant name in golf, we're talking about a tournament, the Wyndham, that never gets talked about. Ever. Ever.
Ever.
Okay? That's how dominant Tiger is. Nobody gives a damn about Jordan Spieth, Spite Spoot, whatever the hell his name is, and Rory, whatever the hell his name is. No one cares. Viewership in golf on TV ratings are down, except when Tiger's playing. So Tiger's still the most dominant name. I think he does need this win. He needs it for his confidence. Because when you win, you need to win so that you can remember what it feels like to win. As far as my Yankees go, you know, I'm not going to be a macho man. I'm talking about how when, you know, Yankee Mania is running wild, it's going to run wild all over you, Nacho. But I will say this.
Okay. Okay. Whoa. Is that the closeout? You're done? Is that it?
That's it.
Okay, let's go. Between them two, listen, okay, South Carolina, Georgia, y'all in the building today. I salute. I got to tell the family down in both of them states, so I salute. 457.com, check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. Be back here tomorrow, Monday nights, for wrapping this thing up. A lot of interesting games popping off, especially with Sirius popping in here. I thought he would give a cold out talk some junk to Nacho. The Steelers and the Packers are about to take place in the next 28 minutes. The Niners and the Cowboys go at it too, so it's another epic rivalry game, even though it's preseason. You know, just the football juice is flowing. I didn't get to half of the stuff because we only had football feeding in this kitchen, so you already know, September, I can smell you in this kitchen. On that note, tell a friend that it's the chef again. Nas, I'm completely out of my mind on you. And if you don't know, now you know.
Oh. Welcome to Sports City. TP Thomas is at the helm.
Feeling kind of Sunday.
Moses taking care of the Midwest. I'm TP Thomas holding down the East Coast.
TP, I am ready to back rock.
And the only thing, I got one thing to wish you people.
Good morning. It's a Sports City chef with Sunday the brunch with Mark and TP.
Good morning.
Kick back, relax, enjoy everybody, don't turn on the TV.
Good morning.
It's a Sunday morning brunch with Mark, the Moses, and TP Thomas.
Good morning.
So sit back, relax, in 2 hours of facts, and that's a fact, yeah.